如何的去提醒以色列所犯的罪。
So let us recap. In the first sermon, we talked about how God reminded the Israelites of their sins.
第二次呢，我们讲的是以色列人怎么样认罪悔改。
The second sermon talked about how the Israelites acknowledged their sins and repented.
第三次呢，讲到以色列人在服侍神，在重建圣殿的这个过程当中啊，他们失望了，看见这个圣殿不漂亮，神是怎么样安慰他们的。
And the third sermon talked about how the Israelites became discouraged in the process of building the temple, but how God comforted them and encouraged them to give them strength.
过了不久呢，以色列的问题啊又出现了。
But not long after this, problems for the Israelites surfaced again.
那这次是什么问题呢？我们来看看今天的经文哈。
But what kind of problems was it this time? Let us examine the Bible verses.
今天的神呢、啊，是透过先知哈该问了祭司们两个很容易回答的问题。
In today's verses, God, through the prophet Haggai, asked two very easy questions to the Israelites.
第一个问题呢，在经文的十二节哈，大家看一看，人若用自己的衣襟啊，胜在那个胜肉，后来又使自己的衣襟触着饼汤酒油哈，这些的事情啊，算不算是为圣的呢？
And the first question is in verse 12, where it says, if one carries consecrated meat in the fold of one's garment, and with the fold touches bread, stew, or wine, or oil, or any other kind of food, does it become holy?
这个所谓的圣肉，其实就是献祭的时候那些牛羊啊，献给神的，是已经分别出来为圣的东西。
Consecrated meat, those sacrifices dedicated to God, and they've already become consecrated.
那如果一个人呢、啊，祭司他在献祭的时候呢，他的衣服啊都会碰到这些的肉，或者是用那个衣服来拿着肉走哈。
But if a person during the time of consecration or a priest lets their clothes come in contact with the meat become consecrated, what happens?
我们记得哈，那时候的祭司的衣服不是这样的。有见过我主持婚礼的时候穿的那个白色的衣服吗？
I mean, back in those days, clothes aren't like what we wear today. For example, they looked more like what Ben was wearing when he undertook the wedding.
那就是那个袖子很大很长的。以前的衣服呢，都是一大块布这样的弄的。
They more resembled a big piece of cloth back in the day, so they had really big sleeves.
所以呢，很容易会碰到那一些的分别为圣的食物。
So the cloth was very easily in contact with consecrated food.
那所以呢，在旧约以西结书里面呢，说明了献祭时候所穿的衣服应该怎么样处理的。
So in Ezekiel chapter 44, it tells us what the Israelites must do in relation to clothing while making offerings.
那些祭司啊，在穿了那些衣服献祭之后呢，要把那些衣服换掉。那些衣服不可以离开圣殿的，因为他已经碰过圣洁的食物，所以呢，那些衣服也变成干净的，不能碰其他的东西了。
Hence, the priests, after doing all the offerings and sacrifices, must actually change clothes and leave all their clothes used during the offering in the temple because they've become holy, because they've come in contact with the consecrated food.
神在问第二个问题啊，在今天的经文当中是十三节当中，如果一个人碰过尸体啊这一类的不洁的东西之后，能不能再接触那些分别为圣的圣物吗？
So God asks a second question through Haggai. If one who is unclean by contact with a dead person touches any of these, does it become unclean?
那这个问题呢，在民数记里面旧约也记载得很清楚了。如果一个人是碰过尸体的话呢，在七天之内他都是不洁净的哈，整个人都是不洁净的。
This question was answered in the book of Numbers, where it states clearly, if someone touches a dead body, they will be unclean for 7 days.
对这两个问题呢，每一个祭司都会回答哈，都知道他们这些的条例是怎样的。
In relation to these questions, every priest was able to answer these, and they knew the law.
而且看来他们也并没有犯这两个条例。
And it seems that they also didn't commit any of these mistakes.
那为什么神还要问他们一些他们没有犯的问题呢？
But given this, why then did God ask them these questions?
答案就在今天的第十四节里面。
The answer is in verse 14.
在十四节里面，神说这民也是这样， 这国在我面前也是这样，他们手里的一切工作都是这样，他们在那里所献的都是不洁净的。
And so Haggai said in verse 14, So it is with this people and with this nation before me, says the Lord, and so with every work of their hands and what they offer, there is unclean.
原来神是用这两个例子来比喻以色列人的情况。
So it seems that God is using these two examples to demonstrate the situation currently facing the Israelites.
以色列人呢、啊，那他们自己认为啊，自己悔改就是呢，赶紧的去回到这个服事的工作里面，把圣殿建好了。
The Israelites thought that their repentance was based on just physically building the temple.
只要他们完成工作，让人看见他们是在圣殿敬拜的话呢，他们就是圣洁的，就是神的子民。
They thought that as long as they had finished their work and allowed everyone to see the temple, to see them worship, that they'd become holy.
那我们再看回神使用的这两个例子当中啊，都是在献祭当中啊，要表达整个献祭或者是神是圣洁的。
But let us look back to the two examples used by God, because it is all in sacrifice that God's holiness is actually represented.
那这种的表达在这个 两个例子当中呢，它不单单是在说到在献祭的那个时刻那一刻里面啊是圣洁的。
And this kind of expression apart from, does not just mean sacrifice at that single point in time.
它也包括了你在献祭之前你不能够碰那一些不洁净的东西，譬如说死人啊，你是不能碰的在之前。
The rules also include not being able to touch unclean things or dead people before this offering.
那也包括在献祭之后也不能够碰到一些不洁净的东西，譬如说你的衣服是在之后献祭之后所穿的，也不能够去碰那一些不洁净的。
And also rules include after the sacrifice you can't touch unclean things with your clothes used during the offering, for example.
献祭的时候是在祭坛上面，我们或者说大家都能够看见啊，他做的事情是不是洁净，是不是好的。
And by nature, offerings back in those days were done on altars so that everybody could see that it had been cleansed.
但是在献祭之前，没有人看见过你有没有碰过死人。
But before you make the offering, nobody knows whether or not you've touched a dead person.
后来献祭之后也不一定有人看见你的衣服有没有碰过那一些不洁净的东西。
And after the sacrifice, nobody knows if your clothes during, used during offering had touched anything unclean afterwards.
但是对于 这两个例子呢，所有的人都明白，就是献祭给神的时候不单单是在祭坛上面也包括了之前和之后的这些的事情。
And in this way, the priests and the Israelites all knew that offerings must be clean not only during the offering, but also before and afterwards.
之前之后，所以以色列人知道，不一定在献祭的时候，其他的时间他们都非常的小心，因为他们明白神是知道一切的。
And hence, this is why Israelites are usually very careful both before and after the offering, because they know that God sees all.
神正在这个时候去纠正以色列人的一些的误解。
God is correcting the Israelites' mistakes.
神说以色列人就像刚才的两个例子一样，以为建好了圣殿就是做好了工作，就是成为圣洁的了。
God says that the Israelites are just like the two examples that he gave, because they thought that just by finishing the temple, it meant that they had finished their work and become holy.
那神说不是这样的，不是这样的，不是说单单看人家看见的那个工作。
But God says, it is not like this. It is not, it does not make you holy just so that you create something that other people can see.
如果你本身的生命是不洁净的，就算建好了圣殿，让全世界的人都看见你在敬拜神，也不代表你是圣洁的。
Because if your life itself is not clean, even if you build the temple, even if you worship God in this temple,It still does not make you clean and holy.
圣洁的生命是指你整体的生命，不是指某一段时间或者 是别人看得见或者看不见的时间。
A holy life is one that encompasses the entirety of your life, not just the single period or whether or not people see it on the outside.
今天我们基督徒会不会有同样的误解呢？
Do Christians today make the same mistake?
我们会不会以为神对我们基督徒的要求就是每个星期天去教会崇拜？
Do we think that God's requirement for us Christians is simply to worship a church once a week?
每个星期去教会崇拜的人是不是就是神所喜悦的呢？
I mean, are the people who worship a church merely every Sunday people with enough for God's joy?
当然了，我们知道崇拜是每一个基督徒的基本的要求。
But of course, we know that worship is a fundamental requirement of every Christian.
但并不代表你做了这些事情，你就是一个圣洁的基督徒了。
But this doesn't necessarily mean that as long as you do these things, you will be a holy Christian.
去教会崇拜是一个外在行为上的一个表达，去表达我们的信仰是什么。
To worship a church is only a mere outward expression of your faith while worshiping at church.
如果我们在没有去教会的时候就没有行出基督徒的圣洁，那就算你和别的基督徒一起的去敬拜也是没有用的。
For example, before we went to church, before we were Christians, before we were holy, it makes no difference if we sat together and worshiped with Christians, we still would not be holy.
今天呢，我们在这里的人都是正在做基督徒该做的事情，就是来这里我们一起敬拜神。
Those of us here today are doing what all Christians must do, and that is come together to worship God.
问题是你不在这里的时候，其他的时间你也在做基督徒该做的事情吗？
But the question is, during all the other times when we're not here, are we still also being Christians in the things that we do?
神不是要一个星期天的基督徒。
God does not just want the Sunday version of you.
他是要你的全部。
He wants all of you.
在十五到十九节，我们继续看圣经，看下去。十五到十九节呢，是神再一次的去提醒以色列人说，神是公义的，神会审判人。
Continuing these verses from verses 15 to 19, God once again reminds the Israelites that God is a just God and will punish people.
这里和我们之前看的第一章非常的相似。
This is very similar to what we read in chapter 1 of Haggai.
神叫他们去回想一下，圣殿还没有重新开工的时候，他们还没有悔改的日子到底是怎样的。
God tells them to remember how it was like in the days before the reconstruction of the temple and what it had represented.
那有些人很努力的工作，想得到20斗或者200公升的谷米，但是最后呢，只得了一半。
In the days before the temple, some people worked very hard to get 20 measures, but only received 10.
有些人想要50桶的酒，可能最后只拿到20桶。
Some people wanted to draw 50 measures of wine, but were only left with 20.
如果放到我们今天的话呢，就是有些人呢、啊，可能在譬如说工厂工作，本来工作呢做了一个月，有3000块工资的。
Using a relatively equivalent modern example, for example, somebody who works in a factory, he gets paid $3,000 a month.
那工人都很努力的做啊，等啊，做啊，等啊，等到了月底了，准备要发工资的时候，你猜有什么事情发生？
So he labors hard and works very hard throughout the month, and right before the end of the month, just before he's about to be paid his salary, guess what happens?
老板跑了。
His boss ran away.
有些人很努力的工作，或者在之前赚了很多的钱，想着哎，有这么多钱，我不工作，我下辈子都没问题了。
But some people had previously worked hard throughout their life and saved a lot of money, and they think I can afford to retire now and not have to worry for the rest of my life.
只是钱太多，不知道放到哪里去好，在家里又不太安全，是不是
？Because I have so much money, I need to find somewhere to keep it safe. I don't want to keep it at home because it's unsafe.
就算放到银行里面去，也要找一个可靠的银行，是不是啊
？And even if you put it in the bank, you need to find a trustworthy bank.
哪一间比较可靠呢
？So which one is more trustworthy, NAB?
你们做的那个 NAB 可靠吗
？Yes.
不知道，但是我想要找一个实力强大的、又有历史的、又有信誉的银行，是不是啊
？So I think we need to find one with a lot of influence, a good history, and one that has integrity.
最后找了一间，看到这间银行挺好的。
And finally, we found one that we think is pretty good.
这间银行，我告诉你们他们的历史，他们有150年历史。
And this bank has 150 years of history.
而且啊，最近的表现非常好，在2000年和2002年都 被这个世界评为是全球最佳的投资银行。
And it's performed very well. And in the year 2000 and 2002, it got voted the world's best investment bank.
也就是说呢，从它的历史上面看到，只要你把钱给他，他就会帮你赚钱。
So from a historical perspective, it seems that as long as you give your money to it, it will help you manage the money.
这个银行多好，我们就选这个，把我们的钱放到它那里去。
Man, this bank sounds so good. Let's put our money with this bank.
最后发现了这个银行的名字，你知道它叫什么吗？
And so at the end, we found out what the name of the bank was. Guess what it was called?
大家听过雷曼兄弟吗？
Everybody heard of Lehman Brothers?
它在2008年刚刚破产了。
It's the biggest corporate collapse in history in 2008.
类似这样的例子多得很。
And there are many of these kinds of examples today.
神叫以色列人去看看，他们认罪悔改之后，当他们的圣殿的根基建立起来的时候，情况是怎样的？
So following this, God called the Israelites to see what the situation was, is like after they repented and after the temple was built.
本来呢，以色列人以为自己生活很忙碌啊，没时间去管圣殿的那个事情，在第一章里面就是这个情况。
Previously, the Israelites have been too busy in their own lives and had no time to care about the temple.
他们怕自己花了时间啊、精神去管理圣殿的时候呢，自己的生活水平就会降低了，就会退步了。
And they were afraid that if they spent too much time and effort on the reconstruction of the temple, that their own lifestyles would suffer detriment.
现在这里神叫他们，你去再看看你们自己家里面的仓库的粮食，再看看你们所种的地里面的出产啊。现在你们在做神的工作，但是那些东西少了吗？
Yeah, God tells them to go look at the grain in their warehouses, look at their crops, look at everything they had in their household after they had started working for God. Had any of these decreased?
这就像我们之前读马拉基书记得吗？里面有关奉献的教导非常的相似。
This is the same principle as what we had previously studied in the book of Malachi in relation to offering.
人们以为我们做了十一奉献，就是说我有1000块的话，我给了100块之后，我自己就穷了，我就变成只有900块了。
And a lot of people think that if you give a tenth of your earnings, if you tithe a tenth, you become poorer by a tenth.
大家都忘记了，所有的财富都是神的。
But people always forget that all the riches and wealth of the world belong to God.
是神赐给我们900块，另外叫我们把100块贡献。
This transaction is actually more like God giving us 90% and us giving God back 10% as a reminder, for our thankfulness.
如果神不允许的话，我们一分钱都拿不到。
Because if God did not allow it, we would not even be able to earn a single dollar.
就算我们赚到了，也很可能我们存到的那个银行就是像雷曼兄弟一样的银行。
I mean, even if we do earn it, we will probably lose it, for example, in banks such as the Lehman Brothers.
想一想啊，你自己现在的钱存到银行，那个你的银行比雷曼兄弟大吗？
Think about it. All the money that you have saved in a bank, is your bank bigger than Lehman Brothers?
我们不知道，我们掌管不了，神掌管一切。
But the thing is, we have no control over these things. Only God has control.
神告诉以色列人，那我们再看下去，在第十九节的最后那里，神说：“从今日起，我必赐福。”
And God tells the Israelites in verse 19, saying, "From this day on, I will bless you."
在今天的经文当中，一开始讲了，这是9月24日起。这里从今天起，不是指从9月24日起呢，神就会永远的祝福以色列人了。
Well, the verse here today is talking about the 24th day of the ninth month. But the thing is, God does not actually mean literally that from the 24th day of the ninth month onward that God will bless the people.
这里的今天是表达着以色列人认罪悔改的日子。
Because when God says, from this day, it actually represents the day that the Israelites turn away from their sin.
以色列人哪一天认罪悔改，神就从哪一天赐下福气。
The day that the Israelites turn away from the sin will be the day that God bestows His blessings from that day onward.
我们也是一样的，我们从哪一天认罪悔改的时候，我们就有神的祝福。
And that applies to us also. The day that we ourselves turn away from our sins will be the day that God bestows blessings on us also.
那我们还要注意的一点就是，神说的， 这句话里面, 神是赐下,
and we also need to be aware of when God says, I will bless you.
祝福可能包括金钱, 但不是完全,
blessings may come in the form of money or monetary value, but it may not necessarily.
神没有告诉以色列人说, 从今天开始, 你以后想得到 20担的米, 你就一定可以得到。
God did not say explicitly to the Israelites, if you want 20 measures of grain, I will give you 20 measures of grain.
那或者是你想得到50桶的酒, 你以后就一定会得到的。
Or if you want 50 measures of wine, you will get it for sure.
神的祝福远远地超过我们所想象的。
But God's blessing is well beyond our imaginations.
神的祝福是把我们真正的需要赐给我们, 而不是我们想要的赐给我们。
For God's blessing is to give us what we truly need, and not just give us what we merely want.
大家记得，神的祝福，再重复一次，神的祝福是赐给我们我们真正需要的，而不是我们想要的。
We'll repeat this again. God's blessing is to give us what we truly need, not what we merely want.
这才是真正的祝福。
This is true blessing.
我们再看下去，21到23节， 这是最后的四节经文， 是神透过哈该要说话给所罗巴伯听。
Let us continue on with verses 21 to 23. This is Haggai speaking to Zerubbabel.
在哈该书当中我们会看到所罗巴伯是一个被神拣选的人。
In the book of Haggai, we learn that Zerubbabel was a man chosen by God.
是神使用他来带领以色列人从巴比伦回来，也带领以色列人去重建圣殿。
He was chosen by God to lead the Israelites out of Babylon and also to lead the Israelites into rebuilding the temple.
而在22节呢, 神再一次向他的仆人所罗巴伯来提醒他，强调他， 告诉他说, 审判必定会来到。
In verse 22, God once again emphasizes to his servants that judgment will definitely come.
而且在23节我们继续看的时候， 看到, 神在告诉所罗巴伯说， 当审判来到的时候， 所罗巴伯的结局会是怎样的？
And in fact, God tells Zerubbabel in verse 23, when judgment comes, what Zerubbabel's fate will be.
神说, 到了那日, 我必提拔你, 我必以你为印。
God says, on that day, I will take you and make you my signet ring.
为什么神要所罗巴伯为印呢？
Why does God want to make Zerubbabel like a signet ring?
因为在古代的时候, 印 是一个统治者的标记，譬如说皇帝的印章。
Because in ancient times, the signet ring was a sign of leadership. It was equivalent to the sign of an emperor.
印代表着这个持有者的身份是非常的尊贵的，是高高的在上的。
The signet represents that the holder's status is very high and very important.
这个印同时也在表达着一个信实不变的意思。
It also represents an unchangingness.
因为一个文件如果加上了皇帝的印的时候， 这个文件就是不能改变的了。
For example, if a document contains the signet, is stamped with the sign, it means it is inalterable, it cannot be altered.
这个印同时也代表着一个掌权者的一个权利。
At the same time, it also represents the authority of the holder.
在审判的那一天， 全地的人都要面对神严厉的审判。
On the day of judgment, all people on earth will face God's strict judgment.
大部分的人面对这些的审判都会恐慌不已。
Most people will be terrified and afraid.
但是这几节的经文告诉我们， 被神拣选, 被神使用, 并且顺服神的人, 将会得到尊贵荣耀, 像印一样。
But those chosen by God, those motivated by God, those who obey God, they will receive priceless glory.
今天我们每一个基督徒都是被神拣选的，都是被神来使用的人。
Today, each and every one of us here is chosen by God and is to be used by God to serve Him.
或者现在我们可能打开电视机看到新闻，不断的出现水灾、旱灾、火灾、风灾，是不是？一打开电视都是这些。
And nowadays, when we turn on the TV, we see many disasters like floods, droughts, bushfires, cyclones, all sorts of natural disasters.
他不用害怕，因为神已经告诉我们了啊，从圣经当中告诉我们，这个世界必定有末日，这个世界必定会结束。
But we need not be afraid because God has told us long ago that there is going to be an end of days when everything will finish.
而这些我们看到的灾难的现象，只是一个末日前的一种的征兆。
And all these disasters and things that we see are simply signposts pointing towards the end of days.
而这些的经文都是在提醒着我们每一个基督徒，我们要面对的是什么。
This here is reminding every single Christian what we are facing.
我们只要在每一天的生活当中继续的去顺服神，敬畏神，到了审判的那一天，我们也会像所罗巴伯一样得到神所赐的尊贵和荣耀。
All we need is to continually serve God and in each and every day of our lives until the day that we can receive the honor and glory of God, just like Zerubbabel.
我们可能也会经历到那些的水灾、旱灾、风灾，但是我们不会害怕。
We may also ourselves be subject and face floods, droughts, and other disasters, but we must not be afraid.
因为神一早已经应许了我们的结果是怎样的。
Because God had already foretold us what our conclusion will be.
好
，our fate will be.
我想我们最后来总结一下今天哈，神透过哈该书给我们的提醒。
So in conclusion, let us summarize what these passages of Haggai in today's sermon have reminded us.
神告诉以色列人说，没有圣洁的生命，就算把圣殿建好了，天天敬拜都是没有用的。
God tells the Israelites that even if you don't have a holy life, even if we complete constructing the temple, even if we worship every day, it is pointless if we don't have a holy life.
我正在想着，我们现在也是在等着我们新的崇拜的大厅要去建好了。
This reminds me that we here today are also waiting for our new church hall to be constructed.
那我们这个崇拜大厅建好了之后又怎样呢？
But even after our new worship hall is completed, what then?
这也是在提醒着我们啊，来教会崇拜不代表你就是神所喜悦的基督徒。
And this also reminds us that just because we come to church and worship,does not mean that we are Christians that please God.
敬拜神最重要的元素不是漂亮的教堂，不是美妙的音乐，不是很严谨的这种的敬拜仪式。
Because the most important factor for worshiping God is not a pretty church, is not skilled musicians or a strict service procedure.
敬拜神最重要的元素是敬拜者圣洁的生命。
The most important way to worship God is to lead a holy life that pleases the Lord.When you worship him.
那这不是说我们就不需要教会啊、音乐或者仪式了。
This is not to say that we don't need a church or good music or procedures.
而是敬拜者首先我们有了圣洁的生命，然后我们再去透过外在的不同的模式来对神敬拜，这才是真正的敬拜。
But rather, it is requiring us as worshippers to first strive for a holy life, and then, after achieving this.Go out and seek to worship God on the exterior with music and procedures.
那如果我们用新约的角度来解释或者是诠释这个圣洁的敬拜是怎样的话呢？我们应该怎么看呢
？If we use a New Testament perspective to interpret what is holy worship, then what is it?
就是一个人在平常的生活当中是充满着大家知道圣灵的果子吗？
This is to say, this is referred to someone with the fruits of the Spirit. Does everybody know what these are?
那这是一个人平常生活当中充满着仁爱、喜乐、平安、忍耐、恩慈、良善、信实、温柔、节制，这些。
This is referring to someone who, in their everyday lives, is filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
这个人。平常看见有需要的人会主动去帮助他的。
This person, when he sees somebody in need, will naturally go and help them out.
他看见有人不开心，他会过去鼓励他的。
And when they see that someone is upset, they will encourage them.
这个人自己不开心的时候，他不会乱发脾气的。
And when he is unhappy himself, he will not express his rage.
这样的人，当他去敬拜神的时候，就是神所喜悦的人。
This kind of person, when they worship God,Pleases God.
相对的，一个人的行为思想如果是充满着淫乱、污秽、邪荡、拜偶像等等等等的话， 敬拜神也没有用。
The opposite of this is if someone's thoughts and actions are filled with immorality, impurity, debauchery, witchcraft, hatred, etc. These kind of people do not please God even if they worship Him.
简单的一点就是一个人昨天晚上才去了赌场赌钱或者是在酒吧醉酒了今天来教会崇拜。
To explain this simply is like saying somebody who last night went to the casino to gamble money or went to some bar and got really drunk and then came in today to worship God.
又或者是一个人整个星期都在家里上网啊看那些不应该看的网站今天来崇拜。
Or someone who every night of the week looks at inappropriate websites and then comes in today to worship.
又或者是今天早上你才跟你的父母啊或者兄弟姐妹吵架了现在来教会崇拜。
Or someone who has a huge fight with their parents and their siblings in Sunday morning, and then straight after having a huge fight, come to worship.
这样的敬拜有用吗？
Is there any point to this kind of worship?
神在哈该书对以色列人说啊，这样的所献的敬拜都是不洁净的，都是没有用的。
God in the book of Haggai says these kinds of worship are by people all unholy, and hence they are all useless.
让我们每一个人都来反省，今天我们坐在这里的敬拜是属于哪一种的敬拜
？Let us reflect for a moment that we who are sitting here today in worship, what kind of categories do we belong to?
我们平常的生活是圣洁的吗
？Are our daily lives holy?
我们平常的行为和心思意念配合我们基督徒的身份吗？配合我们星期天到圣殿来敬拜的行动吗
？Do our usual actions and thoughts?Are they consistent with their identity as a Christian? Are they consistent with their actions worshiping here today?
让我们在每个人回去团契讨论的时候继续的深入的来讨论这一个话题。
Let's hope we get into deep discussions about these kind of issues in our cell groups in the coming weeks.